Good morning and welcome.
Welcome to a new year at Eastern Mennonite University.
Welcome to our 206 new first-year undergraduate students and 66 new transfer students.
To new seminary and graduate counseling students.
And students in the Center for Justice and Peacebuilding.
This year, we welcome a new Vice President and Seminary Dean, Michael King.
New Vice President and Undergraduate Dean, Nancy Heisey.
And new Vice President for Finance, Daryl Burt.
This year, we look forward to renovations for Elmwood and Maplewood residence halls.
A renovated commons building, including space for the Visual and Communication Arts Department.
Solar power on the library roof.
Renovated space for the counseling program and for CJP.
And a just finished this morning expanded Common Grounds Coffee House.
And we'd like to continue that round of applause for all the physical plant staff and Eldon Kurtz, physical plant director, for their impressive work on these and other projects over the summer.
This year, we'll eat really good food in our cafe, where there's always room for one more at the round tables.
Sing and worship Christ during chapel and celebration.
And study for exams.
EMU is a place where we value sacred conversations,
passionate Christian faith,
and seek beauty and truth.
This year, students will learn in Spain and Morocco,
in Guatemala and the Mexico-Arizona border,
and in Syria and the Middle East.
Welcome to the school with the reigning ODAC softball champions.
And a men's basketball team. Yeah, give them a round. Men's basketball team last season finished ranked fourth in the nation.
Welcome to a community where we learn from our mistakes.
Support each other in our disappointment and loss.
Celebrate our accomplishments and achievements.
And care for God's creation.
Where we commit ourselves to pray for the needs among us.
And for the needs of impoverished people scattered around the world.
Welcome to EMU. And please join me in prayer as we gather in worship. Creating and redeeming God, most wise one, we gather together seeking that which is true, that which is honorable, that which is just, that which is pure, that which is pleasing, that which is commendable. We open ourselves to the moving of your Spirit among us that we might be transformed by your very presence. Guide us through this service, that in our individual and collective journeys, we might more fully resemble you as a wise and loving and just people. Amen.
The scripture reading for this morning comes from Philippians 4, 4-9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Good morning and welcome to all of you. My name is Benjamin Berge, a senior music major from Perkasie, Pennsylvania.
And I am Michael Spori, a senior photography major from Boswell, Pennsylvania.
And we as the SGA co-presidents bring you greetings from Student Government Association. SGA is an organization of student leaders that is responsible for listening to the student body, fostering communication between students and administration, and working to make the student voice heard. Among other things, we help to sponsor events, work with student clubs, and serve on various university-wide committees. Keeping this in mind, our theme for this year is simply, Be the Voice, both because we need you to speak up as students and let us know what your desires and dreams are for EMU, and also because it is our goal to be an active voice for students to the administration to put those dreams into action. So speak up. Maybe you could be that voice that makes a big change here at EMU.
Now I would like to introduce this morning's speaker. Dr. Lauren Schwartzentruber became the 8th president of Eastern Mennonite University in 2004. Dr. Schwartzentruber came to EMU from Heston College, where he had served as president since 1994. Before that, he was associate executive secretary of the former Mennonite Board of Education in Elkhart, Indiana for 10 years. A native of Kelowna, Iowa, Lauren graduated from EMU in 1976 with a degree in liberal arts and earned a Master of Divinity degree from Eastern Mennonite Seminary in 1979. He completed a Doctor of Ministry degree at Northern Baptist Theological Seminary in 2000. He was ordained to the Christian ministry in 1975 at Lower Deer Creek Mennonite Church near Kelowna, Iowa, and was pastor at Salford Mennonite Church in Harleysville, Pennsylvania for 6 years. Dr. Schwartzentruber is a member of Parkview Mennonite Church and is currently serving as chair of the board of the Council of Independent Colleges in Virginia. In my experience at EMU, I have always appreciated Lauren's excitement and willingness to get to know students on a personal level, even opening his home for dinners with students. I do not think students at many other universities have the privilege of chatting with our university president over a meal, and it is an honor to be able to interact with our president on such a personal level. Not only that, I have continued to be amazed by Lauren's leadership and vision for EMU and its students, even if his Iowa Hawkeyes continue to beat my Penn State Nittany Lions in football, what seems like every year. Oh, and I'm also slightly jealous of his pinstripe suits.
And the fact that he roasts his own coffee.
Lauren is married to Pat Schwartzentruber, a native of Wellman, Iowa. She works full-time as a volunteer for Eastern Mennonite University and serves on several churchwide boards. The couple has 4 adult children, 3 of whom are EMU alumni, and 2 beautiful grandchildren. Please join me in welcoming Lauren Schwartzentruber.
I have to say, one of the most wonderful Saturday afternoons I've ever spent in my lifetime was sitting at State College amongst all those people dressed in blue to see the most amazing game. The radio people were talking about it afterwards. They said it was the most amazing game in 50 years. It was the first time in 50 years that no touchdown had been scored in a football game at that stadium. The Hawkeyes won 6-4. I'll let you figure out how you can score 6-4 in a football game. I'd like to extend my very special welcome to all of you who are joining EMU, particularly those of you who are coming to this community for the first time as students, faculty, and staff. The reality is that this community would be the poorer without any one of us here. We all contribute to the vibrancy and vitality of this community. Several days ago, someone told me about a brief comment they overheard in a local grocery store. It was heard from an older gentleman who was stocking the shelves. His comment went something like this: I can't imagine what these college students are thinking going to school. I know a bunch of college graduates who can't get jobs. Now, we could wish, perhaps, that such a comment was as infrequent as it is inane, but I've heard a bit too many times comments that are similar. In fact, I would humbly suggest that the comment itself illustrates why a college education might be useful. First place, his facts are skewed. It was just reported a couple of weeks ago that the unemployment rate in the U.S. for college graduates is 1/2 of the rate for non-college graduates and 1/4 of the rate for young people without a high school diploma. While it's not always the case, one would hope that a college graduate would not take their own personal experience and extrapolate it to a whole population. It's a little like the parishioner that I once visited in the hospital. She went in for exploratory surgery. They discovered cancer, and her takeaway was she shouldn't have allowed them to do the surgery. She was convinced the surgery had caused the cancer. People all across our society like to make sweeping generalizations without stopping to consider the logical outcome of their assertions. For example, we like to complain about the government intrusion into business, but I dare say we would probably complain even more if there were no laws to protect us from restaurants that ignore basic rules of sanitation. The skill is called critical thinking, and we expect graduates of EMU to be proficient in it. Now, I realize it may seem a bit odd that I'd begin this first convocation of this academic year with a claim that college graduates, on average, are more employable than non-college graduates. The research also makes clear that college graduates, on average, earn more money over a lifetime. But before you go running to the bank with those data, in the effort to provide truth in advertising, we ought to be very clear that many EMU graduates, and this is true for undergrads, graduate students, and seminary alums, don't earn huge salaries precisely because they embody a vision for service and leadership in organizations that are meeting basic human needs. It's one downside of a vibrant cross-cultural requirement. It's very difficult, I think, to be touched by the realities of economic poverty and not think seriously about how one can invest your life in service to others. Or if you do determine to make a lot of money, we hope you will be generous to the ministries that meet human needs. If your goal is to make a lot of money simply for the benefit of yourself, and you still hold that value after studying here, we will have failed. The mission of this university is radically different from that of most colleges you could have chosen for undergrad, graduate, or seminary studies. We dare to promote the often misunderstood idea that an education in the liberal arts is the best preparation for one's life. We heard this text from Philippians 4 a few minutes ago. We have this amazing opportunity to spend several years thinking about what is noble, what is true, right, pure, lovely, admirable. And if we are successful as fellow learners, you will leave this place at the end of your studies at EMU equipped to continue thinking about these things for a lifetime. Hear this same text from the Philippians text as rendered in the Message by Eugene Peterson. You will do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. The aspiration of a liberal arts education is to provide us with the tools to think. Or Paul's word, meditate, is one synonym. To appreciate beauty that can be accessed through the arts, through music, theater, literature, philosophy, history, the pursuit of truth, to recognize that which is lovely. And if we take the big view, there is no reason to pit the professions or the sciences against the humanities and arts, which we typically assume are the essence of the liberal arts. I enjoy listening to Dr. Dean Adel, his show on radio and then more recently on podcasts. He's a scientist at heart, trained in medicine. And as he put it in a recent comment, when I study the human body or gaze into a microscope and see the beauty in the structure of a cell, I see a miracle. It is a thing of beauty and wonder. There's also no reason to suggest that somehow the arts and humanities do not connect with real life. This past July, Pat and I spent a few days in central Massachusetts. We spent a day at the Norman Rockwell Museum and an evening at Tanglewood, which is the summer home of the Boston Symphony. And that was just a month after we had enjoyed a week of the Bach Festival here on our campus and in the Methodist Church downtown. It was the middle of the week in Massachusetts. We heard the symphony rehearsal for a concert the following Saturday night. We purchased a wonderfully tasty picnic lunch, enjoyed it on the incredibly beautiful grounds surrounding the gorgeous concert hall, and later that evening we heard a one-person performance of the epic poem Beowulf. Thank goodness for modern English supertitles displayed above the stage. Because we estimated when we walked out that we had only understood 3 or 4 words of the medieval English. One of them was God. So in a span of less than 24 hours, we enjoyed the incredible natural beauty of the Berkshires, the provocative illustrations and artwork of an American 20th century icon, and the gripping story of the defeat of the monster Grendel by the warrior Beowulf. Now, many of Rockwell's paintings were progressive commentaries on the social issues of his day, some of which remain challenging for us. One in particular caught my attention, New Kids in the Neighborhood. It was done in 1967, during the height of the Civil Rights Movement. An ice cream truck has come up on a street, and there are 2 small groups of children separated perhaps by just a couple of feet. They approach the truck from opposite sides of the street. 3 Caucasian kids on the right, 1 in a Little League baseball uniform, another holding back a small dog. 2 African-American children on the left, 1 holding a baseball glove, a little girl holding her cat. And these 2 groups are split by a distance of just several feet, and they are checking each other out. The 2 groups share common interests that make them equally human, baseball and pets. It would be easy to miss a critical element of the painting. Way up in the far left-hand corner of this painting, one can see a small window. The curtains are slightly parted, and a woman is peeking through to see what is happening on her street. The image is so small in this larger painting that it's difficult to know for certain if she is Caucasian or African American. But what seems absolutely clear is that she is skeptical of the changes that are coming. It's one of Rockwell's many artistic contributions to make the world a better place in which to live. Artists do that. They give us a way of viewing reality that stretches our comfortable ways of knowing the world. Music touches us to the core of our being in ways that words alone cannot do. Ideas have the capacity to change the world. I haven't yet seen the movie Inception, but I understand one of the most oft-quoted lines is, "An idea is like a virus." Or as one blogger put it, "A virus can be highly contagious. It can grow to define you or grow to destroy you." Our dream is that the ideas that spread like a virus from this place are life-giving and full of hope, ideas that may seem even to be strange to the world. And that may seem completely absurd, like the words of Jesus when he invited us to love our enemies. One could wish that such an idea would become a virus so contagious as to infect the entire world. We have a lot of opportunities coming during this academic year. One is a conference on the theory of attachment that we'll host over the first weekend of April. The planning committee has managed to receive commitments from leaders in the field of attachment theory. We will have world-renowned persons on this campus who have worked in this area. In my mind, it's our opportunity to affirm that human relationships are uniquely beautiful, with a capacity to become far more meaningful if we are willing to be more self-reflective and interactive. The words of the theologian Miroslav Volf come to mind, and this is a paraphrase. "It is the human task to seek double vision, the ability to define one's own vision and identity, along with the capacity to see the world from another's point of view." I'd like to share just very briefly the stories of 2 EMU alumni who died this summer, each of them modeling the kind of life-giving, joyful living to which the Apostle Paul invites each of us in his letter to the Philippians. Jason Marner graduated just 2 months before his untimely death. He had recently returned from the New Zealand cross-cultural experience led by Dr. Jim Yoder. By all accounts, he was a person who lived life with joy and energy, with a quick smile. Jason had just obtained his dream job as a pilot, and he was just 2 days away from heading to the Gulf of Mexico to fly planes in the cleanup effort following the disastrous BP oil spill. One of our alums preached the meditation sermon at Jason's memorial service, and as a fellow pilot, he reminded us that every aviator learns to fly into the wind in order to maintain the proper altitude. So it is that we should approach life, he said, facing into the challenges rather than fleeing from them. What many people did not know about Jason's self-giving life was that he had a younger brother who is disabled due to a farm accident when he was 2 years old. Jason returned home to Iowa 2 years ago after graduating Heston College to travel with his brother on his senior class trip to Washington, D.C. That was an act of sacrificial service that was illustrative of his personality and spirit of service. Glenn Lapp was a 1991 graduate of EMU who was among a group of 10 persons killed in Afghanistan just over a month ago, amazingly. Of the other 9 individuals from around the world, another victim was Brian Cardarelli, a 25-year-old JMU graduate from Harrisonburg. Pat and I, along with others from EMU, attended both memorial services on succeeding Sunday afternoons. This is not the way I prefer to spend a Sunday afternoon, but both services were meaningful for the hope they exuded. Glenn majored in math at EMU and then completed a nursing degree at Johns Hopkins. If you looked at his resume, you might think that he was unsettled, even shiftless, perhaps unable to focus because he held a whole series of jobs throughout the years after graduating EMU, rarely staying in any one job more than about 2 years until he was 40 years old when he died. In fact, Glenn was a lover of people all over the world, passionate about serving those in desperate need, ready to forsake material comforts in order to serve and lead in a global context. He died as logistics leader of a team which had traveled to a remote area of Afghanistan to provide eye care in several small villages. This world we live in is full of pain and evil and ugliness. Most of the forces around us push us toward cynicism and despair. It's our choice as people of faith. We can be overcome by the despair, ignore the pain around us, or acknowledge it and face into it with hope. So it is in that spirit of movement from despair to hope that I invite you to hear the words of a poem from the early 1800s, first written in the Urdu language by an Indian whose pen name was Galeb. It comes from a book that I'm reading, Leading from Within, Poetry that Sustains the Courage to Lead. And this is a poem that was selected by Bonnie Allen, president of the Center for Law and Renewal. For the raindrop, joy is in entering the river. Unbearable pain becomes its own cure. Travel far enough into sorrow, tears turn to sighing. In this way we learn how water can die into air. When, after empty and heavy rain, the storm clouds disperse, is it not that they've wept themselves clear to the end? If you want to know the miracle, how wind can polish a mirror. Look, the shining grass grows green in spring. It's the roses unfolding that creates the desire to see. In every color and circumstance, may the eyes be open for what comes. Think on these things.
Good morning, welcome, and welcome back. Please join me now in a prayer of blessing for a new academic year. God, our Creator and Sustainer, we come to you this morning with grateful, hopeful hearts. We are thankful that you are the God who makes all things new. We ask your blessing on this new academic year. Bless the many ways we will grow as individuals and as a community of learning. We thank you for the comfort and rootedness we feel in the traditions and knowledge we bring to this particular time and place. Bless us and grant us the courage to also embrace the new and unknown. We thank you for our friends and families who encourage and support us on our way. Bless us and grant us the openness of heart and generosity of spirit to welcome new and unfamiliar others into our circle of familiars. We thank you for the particular nation and culture that has formed and nurtured each one of us in our own unique identity. Bless us and grant us a richness of understanding that we may respectfully engage the many nations and cultures that comprise our beautiful global human mosaic. As we embrace the unknown, welcome the unfamiliar, and engage the diversity, bless us with wonder and grant us the vision to see you and your love in all that we encounter. Amen.
This beautiful morning, so full of hope and a celebration of life, we commissioned 21 students and faculty leaders for the Spain and Morocco Fall 2010 Cross-Cultural. It is my pleasure to invite the group to come forward and have a seat on the steps while friends and family gather around to lay hands and embrace the group in prayer. And as you're coming forward, I'm going to continue with an introduction here. So family and friends, please come forward and lay hands on our group. Dr. Moira Rogers, professor of Spanish in our Language and Literature Department, is faculty leader for the Spain and Morocco semester. Professor Rogers is one of our most seasoned cross-cultural leaders, having led a similar semester program 2 years ago, as well as summer seminars to the Navajo Nation, Argentina, Germany, Morocco, and Peru this coming summer. Dr. Rogers is joined by assistant leader Samuel Hernandez. Mr. Hernandez is adjunct faculty here at EMU and JMU in Spanish. He studied at our seminary and has wonderful Arabic language skills. Mr. Hernandez's wife, Ayami Makino, a master's student in education here at EMU, will also accompany the group. All three leaders worked together this past summer as they led the cross-cultural to Morocco in preparation for this longer experience. The group leaves campus today almost right after convocation. They're going to run and get their luggage and then run back to Lehman Circle here. The bus will depart at 11 a.m., so if you can participate in the Shenandoah welcome that will come shortly and then stay around to join us at Lehman Circle for their departure, we would welcome your prayers. Associate Campus Pastor Byron Peachy will now lead us in prayer.
Let's pray, please. O God of love and mercy, we bring before you all of these students and their leaders, Moira and Samuel and Ayami, who we know and love, and we pray that on their journey, your spirit be with them every step of the way. We ask that you open their eyes to the extraordinary world that you have created, that they would have hearts and minds of curiosity, openness to seeing you, Lord, in unlikely places, and that they would care for one another along the way. We ask you to be with them in moments of loneliness, in moments of fear or anxiety, and also those times of joy and discovery about others and about themselves. We ask you, Lord, you keep them safe and out of harm's way. And thank you for the opportunity that we have as travelers and as learners, as people able to risk stepping out of what is often a comfortable world here at EMU, into a world where we become more vulnerable and dependent on your love and protection, and dependent on the community which we have with one another. Lord, we ask that this be a time of growth and deepening of Christian faith, and we pray for Moira and Samuel and Ayami. Give them wisdom for the journey, a sense of humor for what comes their way. And we who remain here, parents, family, our EMU community, we commit to holding all of you in prayer these next 3.5 months. Holy Spirit, we thank you that there's not a place where we can flee, but you, God, are present there. Amen.